favorite hockey team?
The Preds.
The Preds, right? Ben loves the Preds. Best thing about watching the Preds play is what? Watching the Preds play.
No, you're
you know
wrong.
What I mean?
You're
with
wrong.
With a seventh game, you get seven games. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather watch seven hockey games than just four.
Airing every day from
noon to three.
You have done this to yourself. All I have to do is kick away the chair, my friend. The most famous Predator series of the last 5 years when they swept the Chicago Blackhawks. And now Chicago cannot argue with Nashville ever because all they have to say is, hey, brooms.
Buddy,
brooms.
Brooms. Sure, they beat the brooms. Blackhawks, but you remember what
hey,
happened.
Hey, Chicago, you trying to talk trash to me? You got swept. Brooms.
On 1340 WKGN.
Sweeping the team makes such a statement of, hey, we're better than you. When it's a sweep, you leave no doubt. Nothing.
Drama.
There is nothing worse than losing a playoff game. And you've
game
given
seven
me that pain.
Game 7 is massive.
And you've given me that pain three times.
But
no
game
thanks.
7 becomes so massive.
Brooms out, bitch.
Just watch.
Sweep. Sweep. Hour two kicking off in the White Claw Studios. Hour two headlines. Draven, what do you got for us?
All right, we're going to start with some NFL news. We have a couple of AFC South teams, including your Titans, making some moves when it comes to getting fans in the stadium. As the Titans, they'll be having 10% capacity.
All right.
Beginning in week four. I believe is October 4th or
take
or
that
October.
Pittsburgh Steelers. You're about to walk into a hornet's nest.
10% capacity, so not obviously massive numbers. Nothing to get maybe too excited about. But
I'm wondering if I'm going to get invited because I told you guys I bought season tickets this year. Ooh. Great timing on my part, paying off a damn PSL whenever you can't even go to the games. But I do wonder, because we bought lower level, not to brag. I wonder if I'll be if they're going to do it donor level. I mean, I know it's not donor level with PSLs, but are they going to go that way? Or is it going to be hey, we're going to go with the people who've been giving us money the longest? Which I think that's kind of fair. If someone's been a season ticket holder since they got there, just because they're in the upper deck, I don't think I should get priority over them. You know what I mean?
They're saying there should be approximately 7,000 fans permitted for that game. So.
But I am curious to see who all opts out, and if I do get invited to have tickets. And I don't know if I'll take them or not, because I don't know how.
Would you go?
If I had to buy the whole season, probably not. Mm-hmm. If I could pick a couple games, then yes. I would like to go to the Thursday night game against the Colts.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're supposed to have 20. I think on the projection, they're supposed to have 20% fans by then.
What week is that?
It was supposed to be the Georgia
week
weekend. It's November. Almost November 7th. Whatever weekend we were originally supposed to play Georgia. I think November 7th.
Pretty sure it's week 10 or week 12.
Yeah. It's in November when they ramp up to 20%. So, if they're hey, you can buy one ticket to that, then I would go to that game. Thursday night,
yeah.
I hate the Colts. We should be celebrating wrapping up the division at that time. So, I would.
That's a little early. That's a little early.
We're going to have a two-game lead after this weekend. I mean, 1.5 over the Jags.
I would say the Jags.
1.5 over the Jags, but 2 Jags over the coming. Texans and the Colts. We're going to be up 2.
You think Texans-Colts both taking L's?
Yeah.
Sunday?
Ravens are going to beat the hell out of them, and the Vikings are going to bounce back and beat the Vikings. The
Colts are favored in that game, and it's intriguing to me.
Well, I think they're still trying to figure out what to do with home field, because, they're only favored by 3, which is the usual home field price.
And
so
the Colts
like,
will have fans, because they're going to have 2,500 fans in week 2, and then they're going to increase that to 7,500 in
Which,
week 3.
It's crazy to me that we're like, oh, they're going to have fans. 2,500, that's going to make a huge difference to where you can't make audibles.
Well, the Jags had some fans, and they won. So,
I know, but I just think that was more about Phillip Rivers not being able to complete
well, most
it.
Likely.
Being able to,
I hammered the Vikings on that one.
I mean, the Vikings didn't look good in week 1 either.
I know, but
defense, their secondary,
But Phillip Rivers and T.Y. Hilton, can they pick
them
apart? I'd be really worried if I was a Colts fan we lost to the Vikings. If we didn't, look good against the Vikings, even if we, I don't know. Anyways, I would probably, buy a couple games, but I would not want to buy all 8. I don't want to go see, us play the Lions in December.
Yeah, no.
I wouldn't want to spend $100 already on that.
Yeah.
But the Colts, yes.
The Texans.
Steelers.
I feel like that's going to be a good game. 10%. That's a good defensive battle.
Yeah, I know, but do I want to go and, I've said I like going to good atmospheres. Do I want to go to a game with 10% of the fans in there?
That's true.
Me and 7,000 people, is that worth it? keep in mind, if I lived in Nashville, the math would be different. Mm-hmm. Like having to drive to Nashville, I really probably shouldn't have even bought season tickets. I don't know what I was doing. I was going through a tough time. Dad died, girlfriend dumped me. It's like I need to spend my money on something. I need something to make me happy. I was like, oh, I know what will make me happy. The Titans.
Titans.
And it's true. So far, they've made me happy this week.
It's a good start.
So yeah. I'll reward them with season tickets. I got a friend who lives in Nashville. He wanted to get them. I was like, the games I don't go to, you know, he can sell them and or take a friend or whatever. It's like, we're going to be Super Bowl contenders the next 3 or 4 years. You laugh, but it's true. Okay, next headline, please.
I was just going to also throw out the Texans are moving up to having 15,000 fans in week 4. So
should I use the Browns as a survivor pick pull tonight? A survivor pool pick tonight?
If I was still in, I would, but I lost last week with the Eagles.
Thanks, Colts.
I don't know if I listen to someone who's already out. Like, I don't know if I want your advice. You just said you would, but you just told me you're out. So
I think the Browns are going to smack them pretty good tonight.
I mean, I feel like this is the only chance to use the Browns at home exactly. Against the Bengals. Well,
that's why I used the Eagles last week, and it kind of backfired. Well,
that's what I was going to say, but one of the rules is you can't use you shouldn't use a division game. They're too familiar with each other. You know what I mean?
It's true.
But you guys all picked like division teams on the road. Like people pick the Colts and the Eagles. You can't pick a division game on the road. That's where you guys got in trouble. I don't know. I'm still going through some things. Next headline, Draven. Sorry.
The 2019-2020 All NBA teams came out yesterday.
Save that.
Okay.
I want to talk about that in full.
Okay. I was about to say there's kind of a lot to break down within that. So.
That deserves more than a headline.
Gotcha.
Next headline, please.
All right, Missouri. Has just Drinkwitz just announced that 12 players are going to be out for COVID, and they're all going to be out for the Alabama game coming up Saturday. That's 12 players. No positions or names are really thrown out there, but 12 players seems like a lot for Missouri, who's already going to be a pretty big dog, underdog in that game against Bama.
You know, at the same time, be careful. Don't get hurt. Don't derail your season week one. Will they be out for Tennessee too?
I don't know. It doesn't say anything about Tennessee. It just says they'll definitely be out for Bama. I would say Tennessee, they're going to have to just kind of wait and see what happens there.
But yeah. I mean, that's who we play week two. So.
Right. So kind of interesting. Could be some issues with Missouri. Again, already a team that's high expectations.
Sure. But honestly, like if I was Missouri and I was a Missouri fan, I'd be like, you know what? That's fine. I don't want these
guys
getting hurt
what I was gonna
against
say.
Alabama. Like I always, you know, if we wouldn't have gotten Kamara hurt against Alabama in 2016, we probably would have turn around and beat South Carolina the next week. You know what I mean? We got beat up by Alabama physically.
Like, I don't know. Josh Jobs was studying. That's what you said.
He was studying. He was. But maybe Kamara would have been like, hey, bro, don't study. Hey, man.
Been a bad influence.
Yeah,
on
hey,
him.
Man, don't
hey,
study.
Man, fail that test.
But I mean, like, you know, you were probably right. The studying that ruined everything. But just, you know,
you hear that, kids? Don't study. It ruins your life.
Not if you have something important to do, like win a football game.
What's more important, books or football?
Football, easy.
I mean, he's still obviously in the NFL.
Yeah,
you can't throw a book in the
now
spiral.
You look at it.
Did you know he's an intern for NASA as well? He's like a engineer intern or intern engineer, whatever
he's
you call
big
it.
Big braining out there.
Yeah, he's still got it rolling. So some other news: we had obviously the Big Ten playing football, and it looks like the Pac-12. After nobody cared about poor little Pac-12, nobody said anything. Finally, they exactly. Finally,
President Trump called them the Pac-10. He kicked two teams out. He was like, he did not.
Who'd he get rid of?
He did not acknowledge. he did not acknowledge that there were 12 teams now. He's like, you just call them the Pac-10. He didn't care. Which, to be honest, I don't care either. I don't. I call them the Pac-10 too. They're the Pac-10.
Mean, they were. Yeah. Do we really? Who did they add? They had
Colorado and
was it
Utah?
Yeah.
But Utah's pretty good.
Yeah, they're not bad.
Utah's like their best program outside of Oregon the last like 5 years.
Colorado hasn't done anything, but yeah.
Colorado stinks, but Utah's their second best program.
We'll give Utah a little love. So yeah, the Pac-12. Larry Scott, Pac-12 commissioner, came out and said today, the Pac-12 welcomes today's statements by Governor Newsom of California and Governor Brown of Oregon that state public health officials will allow for contact practice and return to competition, and that there are no state restrictions on our ability to play sports in light of adherence to strict health and safety protocols. So basically saying, I mean, it's been the whole, you know, California, Oregon, they're not going to let us play. These officials are not going to let us play. And now kind of feels like it's turning, changing just a little bit.
The Mountain West is also like, hey, guys, don't forget about us. We're going to do 8 games, too.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, yeah, we don't really care,
no.
Mountain West. Like,
I mean, we hardly care about the Pac-12. Do they, Mountain West really think they're going to get any love from the fans?
Although it was funny. Like, it was funny to me, like, Big Ten, and everyone's just like, there's those other two conferences, but no one cares. It's Big Ten. And it has to be just basically the strength of Ohio State.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't care about any of these other Big Ten schools except Ohio State.
Larry Scott did say on ESPN that the best case scenario is to start games by early November, but that is still subject to county approvals, obviously, so they're still kind of trying to sort all that out. But we're going to do everything possible to play this fall, play a Pac-12 championship game, and have teams to compete for the college football playoffs if possible. So, sounds like the Pac-12, just like the Big Ten, all of a sudden hopping back on board. Obviously, they still have to get it passed through the officials, so we'll kind of see what happens there. And I want to talk about this NFL headline. Did you guys see what Bill Belichick had to say about Russell Wilson? Had some pretty high praise. He said
he said what needed to be said.
He did.
He said what needed to be said. And Bill Belichick doesn't always do this. But
that's
Bill
what
Belichick,
I'm saying. That's
Bill
kind of
Belichick
a big deal.
Came out and basically said Russell Wilson needs more attention because he's.
Yes.
He didn't say he's the best player in the league, but he's basically like, there's no one doing it better.
Right. He said, but I don't really see anybody better than this player. He said he's underrated when it comes to the media and the fans. And, yeah, just a lot of high praise. And like you said, I think the big thing here is the fact that Bill Belichick usually doesn't say anything. He does. I mean, every now and then I feel like he'll throw a little praise for another player on another team or on the opposing team. But nothing like this. I feel like this is pretty strong comments, especially, you know, with Tom Brady, just losing Tom Brady. You think a little bit of a shot?
I mean,
no?
I would imagine. Well, I don't think it's a shot. I mean, I don't think anyone would say that Tom Brady is better than Russell Wilson in the year of our Lord 2020.
No, but, you know, Tom Brady is one of the greatest quarterbacks, and he had him for a very long time, and then, you know,
I don't think at Tom Brady's peak he played football better than Russell Wilson.
Really?
Well, I mean, like, the 2007 year when they, like, you know, were out there redefining offenses, yeah. But I mean, like, that's fine, but, like, you're not telling me, like, if you had dropped Russell Wilson in 2000, like, Russell Wilson from this year into the 2007 Patriots, like, they'd still go undefeated.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson could have thrown deep balls to Randy Moss, like... I mean, I think, and I said it on Monday, that was my week one, you know, I guess maybe it was on Tuesday, my week one takeaway was like, when I ranked our quarterbacks, I said, like, Mahomes and Wilson are dead even to me.
I feel like the gap that people think is a lot bigger, too. I think that a lot of people...
Oh, no, it's them two and everyone
so
else. Yeah, it's them two and everyone else as far as I'm concerned. Like, all due respect to Lamar, maybe Ravens fans would get mad about that. I think, though, if you, like, made them drink some truth serum... Do you drink truth serum or do you like get stabbed with
you
truth serum?
You usually get injected.
Injected with truth serum. Okay, so you don't drink it. If you got stabbed with truth serum, they would admit, like, hey, no, like, those guys are better. We wish we had those guys.
Does that really exist?
Yeah. Or I don't know.
I think
it does.
Is it called truth serum now?
I think it's a slang
word.
For it.
Yeah, where they, yeah, it like just makes you, like, I mean, susceptible to.
I mean, I think, is that not real? That better be real. Oh, I mean, I feel like it's unethical to give somebody it without them, like, you know, being aware.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a real thing. I think it just makes you, like, more suggestible.
Yeah, I mean, it probably just, it's probably like, I mean, just being, like, on anesthesia.
Yeah.
Or drunk. Like when you, when,
I'd say, or intoxicated.
Like when you can't, like, go through, like, all the lies in your head, like, and you just kind of, like,
Oh, you couldn't get me with that. No way.
I don't know. I mean, I've been drunk around you before, and you've been pretty open and talking about things. I don't think it'd be that tough to get Cam to tell his real thoughts on something. Like, would you reveal your deepest, darkest secrets? No, probably not.
No, never.
Like, I think you'd still be allowed to lie, but I just think it'd be a lot tougher, and, like, you would lose your inhibition.
Oh, boy.
Maybe Bill Belichick's trying to butter up Russell Wilson so Russell doesn't dominate his defense this weekend.
But yeah, insider secret game plan for their passing attack.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever the Falcons did last week, which was plan for to stop the mighty Chris Carson, don't do that.
Yeah,
their best player, yeah. Chris Carson, not don't, Russell Wilson.
Maybe yep. Let's focus on one of the three best players in the league. I mean, right? Like, Russell Wilson's one of the three best players in the NFL, right?
Yeah, no
I mean,
doubt.
There's
that would be a good idea.
I mean, there's Jeffrey Simmons, Aaron Donald, and Russell Wilson.
Here we go. Come on.
There's Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, and Aaron Donald. To me, those are the three clear-cut best players in the league.
Yeah. I'd agree with that. Yeah.
I mean, I
can't
think
of anybody else.
I mean, I loved George Kittle last year, but, I mean, like, you know, he's hurt. I need to see him be healthy, but he's not on those guys' level anyway. I say he was the best skill position player last year in the NFL, like the best non-quarterback. You know, I don't know if I was even counting like Aaron Donald in that, because Aaron Donald's a beast, and I think everyone acknowledges like he's like the actual best player in the NFL at like what he does. But Mahomes and Wilson, to me, are just right there equal. I think he might win MVP this year.
Russell.
Yeah, Russell's my pick after we
They're letting him cook. Yeah.
Never gotten a vote before.
Yeah, we talk about
Wow, couldn't be my quarterback.
We talk about the narratives. And who was it Dak we talked about the narrative with last week, and like, you know, his brother and you know, the controversy and the contract and all that stuff. But like what I saw week one, no offense, Dak, probably not gonna win MVP. I don't think they're gonna win enough games. But Russell, that performance he put, and then like what was one of the big talking points coming out of that? How he's never gotten an MVP vote? And now you have Belichick talking about how he's the best in the league. They wanted to give Drew Brees the career MVP award, was it 2 years ago? And he got hurt. And he got, who'd he get beat by? Mahomes, I guess. Yeah. They wanted to give it to him, and he got hurt. And I want to say that, yeah, that was going to be his MVP. I think you're going to see a similar thing with Russell Wilson, where you just talk all year about how great he is.
I feel like Seattle's going to have a pretty good record.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what matters. Like you said, Lamar, 14-2 last year. Yep. That's kind of amazing.
They opened the season with a win over an 11-win team. That's only signs of greatness.
The Falcons have won 11 games the last, like, 2 years, right? I mean, they're basically right there at 11.
Yeah. Coming.
Yeah. So I think if I had to pick right now, like, Kyler's the dark horse. I just don't think they're going enough games. His numbers would be good, but I don't think they'll win enough games. I think Russell's my pick after week one to win MVP. All right, let's go to break. Let's come back. I want to hear about those all-NBA teams. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
It's got a little bit of controversy. Pascal Siakam got on the second NBA team over Jason Tatum, which I saw a lot of people, especially on social media, on Twitter, kind of had a little bit of a disagreement with. They thought Tatum should have at least got in over Siakam.
Okay, so that's the second team. Siakam, I guess, is the name that you look at and like, okay.
Yeah.
But Siakam was really good during the regular season. Like, it's a regular season award, you know what I mean? So I don't want to look and say, like, hey, your playoffs knocked you out. Because no one, you know, we talk about trading. Like, if the Raptors called the Celtics and were like, hey, we'll trade you Pascal Siakam for Jason Tatum, they would get laughed off the phone. Right? I mean, the Celtics hang up on them immediately.
Right.
But Siakam's team won more games. And sometimes that's what matters in these All-NBA things, right? I mean, he averaged 23 points a game, 7 rebounds, 3.5 assists.
Yeah. I think it's just hard because it's like we had the whole bubble, so we haven't got to see regular season in so long. And what we've gotten to see is playoffs, and Jason Tatum played a lot better than Pascal Siakam for sure. In the last series. So I think that's where it's kind of
just for issue. The year. I mean, and Tatum caught fire in February. But like the first 4 months of the season should matter too when you go to All-NBA and Tatum wasn't as good.
Yeah.
Because like, I mean, even with Tatum going crazy, and again, no one's taking Siakam over Tatum if you're actually like building a team or if you're asking who's better. But if you actually get to the end of the year and you look at their total numbers, they're not that different. Siakam averaged 22.9 points a game. Tatum averaged 23.4. The rebound difference is like, you know, Siakam averaged 0.3 more assists. Siakam averaged a half assist more. Played better defense. So it's okay to me that they put Siakam there.
Okay.
But Tatum did make third team.
Yeah, he did. Jason Tatum was on the third team along with Jimmy Butler, who well-deserved, I believe. And Rudy Gobert also got on the list.
Okay. Shout out to Gobert because he cried that one time he didn't get to be an All-Star, but now he got to be an All-Star this year and an All-NBA player. Yep. So good for Gobert.
Yeah, I'll be happy for him. And
Who in their right mind is taking Gobert over Joel Embiid? What the hell?
That's true, yeah. A lot of people thought Embiid got snubbed.
Embiid did get snubbed, and it cost Embiid money because he needs to make an All-NBA team to get that mega contract.
Really? Ooh. Okay, so that's kind of big. Yeah.
Which, if you're a Sixers fan, you might be happy with that. Like, hey, either we don't have to pay him max money, or like Embiid's coming in this season really motivated because he wants to get that max money. Because I think he only has one more year to try to do it before that he gets that big extension.
I feel like people worry about his motivation more than anything. That's like the one big hit on Joel Embiid. So, but the other two names, a little bit of a surprise, you could say. We had Ben Simmons. That Sixer did get in, and it was Ben Simmons. And we also had Russell Westbrook.
Oh,
Russell
Trae
Westbrook.
Young.
Yep. Trae Young, Bradley Beal, a couple of big names who a lot of people thought got snubbed. But yeah, Ben Simmons and Russell Westbrook complete the third All-NBA team.
Bro, I'm so sick of Bradley Beal.
What's the deal with Bradley Beal? What's wrong?
I just mean, like, what is he crying about getting snubbed? If anybody got snubbed, it was Trae.
Yep.
I mean, if you just look at the numbers, I mean, like, I know that Beal got the headline of being the only player to average 30 points and 6 assists and not make it, but, like, he averaged 30.5, and Trae Young averaged 29.6. So, I mean, he averaged less than a point less while also having over 3.2 more assists per game. So, like, and look, I'm not saying Trae Young should have made All-NBA. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying.
I'm saying that.
That's fine, but I'm not. But if you're saying that Bradley Beal should have made it, then you're obviously saying that defense doesn't matter, because the two worst players on defense in the league are Trae Young and Bradley Beal. It's not like Bradley Beal's guarding anybody, and Trae Young's better at offense than Bradley Beal. I would rather have 29.6 points and 9.3 assists than 30.5 points and 6.1 assists. You get more points.
Well, okay, what do you think about Russell Westbrook and Ben Simmons getting in? Do you have a problem with that at all?
Ben Simmons, no.
Okay.
Westbrook, I mean, I would take Westbrook's season over Trae's and Bradley Beal's. All NBA, you have to win games. Like, they don't really put teams on there. They don't really put guys on there that don't win. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, if you go through that list, who has the least amount of wins? Luka?
Probably.
And I mean, Luka single-handedly took that team. I won't say single-handedly. Luka carried that team to the 7th seed. And, like, Luka deserved it. Luka was really, really good. But outside of that, I mean, everyone was at least a top 5 seed, right?
Well, Damian Lillard.
Okay.
They were the 8th seed.
Okay,
I guess.
Fair enough.
So that was was the lowest.
But Dame had a historical stretch,
yeah, no,
both in the bubble and pre-bubble.
Yeah, he deserves it for sure. No doubt.
Which I don't even know if they took the bubble into account for this voting.
That's what
I don't think they did. I think they had to vote before all that, so I don't think the bubble counted.
Okay.
But you know, Dame Lillard had a 2-week stretch where he was the best player in the world. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I guess they did. This is before, because didn't they have the bubble all teams? Didn't they have a bubble?
Yeah. That's why they let the all bubble.
Okay.
Team
that's
happen.
Yeah. That's what I thought. Okay.
But I guess Dame being the 8th seed, okay, that's probably that's definitely the lowest. Mm-hmm. But at least they made the playoffs. Everyone else, either a top 5 seed, basically, except Simmons. I guess they finished 6th. But all playoff teams. You're not getting on there if you're Bradley Beal or Trae Young and your team won 30 games. Sorry. It's just not going to happen, usually. That's probably why LeBron didn't make first team until he was like his 3rd year, because I feel like the Cavs didn't start winning until his 3rd year. That was a problem. Like, they cried about Bradley Beal not being an all-star too, which, you know, whatever. He wasn't better than Trae. They let Trae be an all-star. He was a starter. He got voted. He got a star.
Starter.
Fans voted him.
The respect.
I mean, if you want to be an all-star, you want to be an all-NBA player, Bradley Beal, just play a little bit of defense.
just try.
Like, Trae is limited. Trey's always going to be limited on defense. He's 6 foot, and he's like 150 pounds. Like,
is he even 6 foot? I was thinking
he's 6'1", but yeah, he might be shorter. I mean, he's got the Kemba Walker thing going where they're calling him 6 foot, but they're not. But, like, Trae is, like, physically limited. Like, isn't Bradley Beal, like, 6'4"?
Yeah.
Like, Bradley Beal has a body that could be good at defense, or at least not the worst player in the league on defense. There's not much Trey's going to be able to do for a while.
6'5" is what they have him listed on here.
Like, Bill's a good sized wing.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for him being so bad on defense. He's an interesting name to watch this offseason. Mm-hmm. Like, Bill will be one of the more highly coveted names when you start looking at who can get traded and maybe swing a championship.
He could be a great number 2, or even like a number 3.
Okay, I thought you were going to say it could be a number 1. He can't be a number 1.
No.
Right, he can be, but what happens is you win 20 games like the Wizards did last year. I mean, like that's what
Which
happens.
Which that Wizards team was absolutely terrible.
Sure. I mean, that's fine. Like,
I'll give him a little bit of credit.
If you built a team around Bradley Beal and he's your best player and you actually try to put pieces around him, you could maybe win 40 games.
Yeah. 6th seed in the East.
You're like the Suns.
Yeah.
Devin Booker. Exactly, I mean, Beal's probably a little bit better than Devin Booker, but like, you're not going to be much better. And that's if he tries on defense. Like, sometimes Booker at least tries. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, no, if Bill's your 3rd best player, you're winning the title for sure. If he's your 2nd best, you have a chance. So he'll be a name. You know, he's only 26.
Milwaukee? Could you send him to the Bucks?
I just don't think Milwaukee has any pieces to get him.
Yeah, right.
I mean, like, if you're the Wizards, would you rather? Because didn't Bradley Beal sign that big extension? Bradley Beal signed his big extension, right?
Signed it, yeah.
So he's under contract.
A year or two ago, too. So
now, I mean, unless Bradley Beal tells you, like, hey, I want out, like, hey, I demand out, but, like, at that point, he doesn't really have any leverage. But yeah, if I'm the Bucks and I could get Bradley Beal for anything other than Giannis, I'm doing it. Like, Bradley Beal or Chris Middleton, I'll take Bradley Beal. With the caveat of being paired around Giannis. Mm-hmm. Like, Middleton might be a guy that wins you more games just because he plays better both ways, but, like, what you've seen the Bucks fall short with is outside shooting and, like, playmaking ability, and Beal can do that. Middleton can't. Like, I don't know who could go get Bradley Beal. Like, I don't know what it would take from the Wizards to get Bradley Beal. If you were the Timberwolves and you offered the first overall pick to the Wolves, could you get Bradley Beal? If you were the Warriors and you offered Andrew Wiggins the number 2 pick and the Timberwolves number 1 pick next year, which would be like top 10, top 5, it's unprotected, could you get Bradley Beal?
I think you'd at least have their attention.
I think you'd have their attention, yeah. I mean, like, the Wizards obviously aren't going anywhere. Wiggins isn't taking you anywhere if you're the Wizards, but you get the number 2 pick and you get a top 5 pick next year. That would be something that would be really fun to watch with Clay, Steph.
I'd be so upset, but yeah.
Bill and Draymond, that'd be really fun. Like, I don't know if that backcourt's stopping anybody with Bill and Steph and Clay Thompson coming off of an ACL, but Draymond's really good at defense, and Clay Thompson used to be.
I'm not sure who's going to be stopping them.
Right, that team would score 140 points.
Yeah, that's a hell of a 3-shooting team.
But Bill will be a popular name. I just don't know, like, what it'll take to go get him. But he's one of the stars on the market that you can acquire. And if I'm him, I mean, I know I signed that mega extension, but hey, guys, I just wanted the money. Like, I want out of here. Like, I would rather have a chance to, like, get these accolades, because he obviously wants them, right? He cried about not being an All-Star.
Yeah.
He cried about not being All-NBA. He obviously wants that recognition, and he's not going to get it as long as he's in Washington winning 30 games, and they're going to win 30 games next year.
Sounds insecure to me.
I mean, we all want to be respected, right? I mean, in all walks of life, we want to be acknowledged as being good, especially if we think we're good. He obviously thinks he's good. He is good. But, like, he probably feels like he's overlooked because he's on a bad Washington team. If he was on a Warriors team putting those numbers up, he'd be in the MVP conversation. Now, obviously, I don't think he'd be putting those numbers up next to Steph and Clay, but, like, I mean,
that'd be bonkers.
He would still be shooting really well and still scoring a lot of points. I mean, he can fill it up.
Yeah.
If you found a way to get him if I'm the Sixers, I might be like, hey, what can I do to get you Bradley Beal? Now, I don't know if I would take, I might call him. I mean,
you trade, like, Simmons for him?
I wouldn't trade Simmons for him, but I might trade Embiid for him.
The Wizards would definitely jump on that.
Yeah,
I feel like.
Yeah, you would think. And, like, I would love to see Ben Simmons and Bradley Beal as a backcourt, because Ben Simmons can guard, and they could spread it out and play really fast and have shooting. And if I'm the Sixers, I've said it before, like, I'm keeping Simmons just because I don't fear that he'll break down, and I'm still not sure Embiid will break down. And as Draven said, I'm worried about how motivated Embiid is, and I don't want that from my guy. I feel like Ben Simmons cares. I feel like he's an ultimate competitor. I like him.
Not to mention if Mike D'Antoni, who's the top candidate for the job, comes in.
D'Antoni with
last big
and Simmons,
he had was Capella, and then, you know,
got
they
rid
did,
of him.
Yeah, they traded him. So, I don't know.
I would love to see Bradley Beal and Ben Simmons in a Mike D'Antoni offense. But, like, there's going to be some moving of decks. There's going to be moving of chairs on the deck this NBA season. And Bill got snubbed. And if I'm him, I'm like, man, I got to get out of here. It's fun living in D.C. Chocolate City.
Is
it's
it?
Fun. Love it.
Is
D.C. not thought of to be, like, a crazy fun town?
I don't know. I only went when I was young, and I didn't like it.
I've always heard D.C. was a real fun town for a young, rich black man. I've always heard that's one of the places to be.
Howard's right there. I don't know.
I've always heard good things about it. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a young, rich black man, but I've always heard good things about it.
Me neither.
You got two of the three. I guess you're not that young anymore,
but
you're
in
Bradley
Beal. I only have one.
You're black. You are black. Last name and skin color. You are black.
Yo, got that covered. Got to work on the other two.
Got to work on the other two. Well, there's not really much you can do about being young either.
That's fair.
You're losing ground on that too. Every day. Every second. Tick, tick, tick.
Oh, no.
Tick, 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 tick.
Existential crisis coming in.
Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, what are we looking at tonight? Heat, Celtics. Did that one block equal two wins? Or do the Celtics, are they able to snap and clear? If you're Jason Tatum, do you use that as motivation? Do you just chalk it up as one of the all-time great plays? Like, hey, we're fine? Or do you look and say, man, we really let one slip away. We had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. And then our stars went cold and let us down.
I think you let one slip away, but also with Kemba not playing his best, you were still in the game. It's just, I don't think you can, I don't know how frequent you're going to get a good Marcus Smart game.
Well, that's what I was going to say about Kemba. Like, if you tell me that one of my guards is going to score 28 points, I take that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Marcus Smart, but he hit six threes. Kemba's not ever going to have a game better than that in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Kemba, I felt this way about him for a while. Kemba has just always been really overrated to me. Like, he's one of those players. He's a step up from what Bradley Beal's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it's like empty stats guy, but like his stats didn't lead to winning with the Hornets. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it wasn't his fault, but like it's easier when you're just like don't have pressure. And then you get to the playoffs, and he's supposed to be the Celtics' best player, and he hasn't been their best player all year. Like, it's been Tatum, and that hasn't even opened him up. You would think like Tatum's ascension would help Kemba. But Kemba can't do much other than, like, dribble and shoot. What I mean by that is, like, Kemba can't catch and shoot.
Yeah.
He needs to do, like, his little pull-up around screens or step-backs. Like, he needs the ball in his hands to be successful. But when you put the ball in his hands against physical defenses, he can't get a shot. And then on defense, he's completely liable.
Yeah.
Where are you at on this, Draven? Game two. What's the spread over at my bookie? The Heat... still 2.5-point underdogs. I mean, the Celtics obviously need to win. The Celtics were favored in this series slightly. Game one was a 1.5-point spread. So I think they're saying, hey, the Celtics will bring it a little bit tougher today. Are they favored by 2.5 over at my bookie, Draven?
Yep. Two and a half.
2.5?
Yep. Boston favored by 2.5. The under over set at 209.5. I believe that was the same as last game, I would say.
That's the thing about not traveling is like they're pretty much going to the number, you know, they get their spreads off of numbers to start with, right? I mean, they adjust it if a lot of money comes in on one side, but the over under should be 209, so it's going to be 209 pretty much the whole series until like game seven, if it goes game seven. And game one, it probably should have gone under, but there was a crazy last minute and a half and then overtime. And the Heat scored a bunch of, like, both teams scored 55 points in the first half, and then, like, you know, that helped get them out a little bit ahead. But the second half came to a screeching, you know, a screeching halt for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Both these teams are really good on defense. So I would leave the over-under alone, I mean, just because 209 is not a lot in today's NBA with three-point shooting, but also these teams are both really good at defense. I don't know how you don't take the 2.5 with the Heat.
Yeah.
Like I mean, the plus 120 on the money line seems like, you know, it's a coin flip series. Like, you're getting plus money, but at the same time, I would just take the plus 2.5, and I do feel like if the Celtics win, it's going to be by 1 or 2 points. Like, that, I would feel comfortable having the 2.5.
Yeah.
Because I do think this series is going to be a coin flip. And, you know, there's a chance the Celtics are demoralized, I think, but it's early for that to happen. Like, I would be shocked if the Celtics didn't come out and play well. Like, I know I said, like, the one block could equal two wins, but, like, if you're there and you're feeling like the Celtics, you probably are like, man, we just made a lot tougher on ourselves. Yeah. And they didn't respond well to that in the Raptors series, right? Whenever they let game three slip away, they didn't play a good game four and kind of compounded that issue and then found themselves in a long series. But here, like, you know, they can't afford to take this game off. If they go down 2-0, they're going to be in trouble. But the Heat have done this every series so far. They stole game one against the Bucks, and we all thought, what? well, the Bucks are definitely going to bounce back. The Heat got their one win. They'll take it easy. And then they didn't because this team just keeps coming. I have more confidence that they can keep this game within two than I do that the Celtics win. So if you're looking to bet on mybookie.ag, promo code Knoxville for a 100% match bonus, I recommend Heat plus 2.5.
Cosign.
I mean, we kept saying that with the Pacers, too. Like, the Pacers will bounce back. Pacers will get them one. Nope, didn't. The Heat just kept the pedal to the metal.
Yep.
Same thing with the Bucks. Up 2-0. The Bucks got to win. Nope. Heat just kept coming. Pedal to the metal. They were down like 12 points going into, or like 15 points going into that fourth quarter, whatever it was. And then they beat them like 31-12. Dominated them. Mm-hmm. Cut the water all the way off on them. They just keep coming. And they're in a groove right now, and they're confident. And, like, coming out of game one team is riding high and the other teams might be doubting themselves. Like, if I'm Jason Tatum and I didn't score a field goal the last 12 minutes of that game, I'm a little nervous.
He was taking such bad shots, though. I feel like it was all him. He was trying to be the hero. That was frustrating, honestly.
It's hard to run set plays in the fourth quarter, A, when you're tired, and B, like, when you've been running set plays the whole game. Like, yeah. You kind of figure out the action and the Heat. Look, the Heat are going to be able to switch everything. It's hard to run set plays when you can just clearly pass off a screen. You know what I mean? Like, if your motion offense just gets completely, like, shuffled to the side and, like, hey, this screen absolutely means nothing because here, Jay Crowder, me and you are going to switch. I'm not chasing him out to the three-point line. You just stay with him. Or if you're the Heat and you're just staying in a zone because you got five guys out there that can fly around and you have, obviously, a really good rim protector in Bam Adebayo who can go out there and guard Kemba Walker, guard Jason Tatum, and then drop back and block a shot, like, the Heat are almost perfectly geared for modern-day basketball, at least until they face LeBron and AD. Like, LeBron and AD are, like, you know, two top five players that might offer different challenges than other teams can. But it's not like the Celtics have a big man to exploit them. It's not like Bam's having to guard Embiid or Jokic, which I think he could handle both of them or at least hang his own. But, like, you can't dump the ball into Daniel Theis. Or Robert Williams and say, hey, go get me a bunch of buckets. Like, that's just not what they're geared for. So, meanwhile, you allow the Heat to just take 1 through 5 and just switch off everything. Because Dragic can stay with at least Kemba and Jalen Brown and Marcus Smart. You know, Tatum gets a little bit long for him. But Butler can guard 1 through 5. Jay Crowder can guard 1 through 5. Mm-hmm. Tyler Hero is probably 1 through 3. You don't really want him on Tatum either, but, like, you know, the Celtics like playing small, and the Heat can play small better than them. Mm-hmm. And then, again, when it's nut up or shut up time, they got the alpha in the East. And Jimmy Butler's going to find a way to let them get a win. I think the wrong team's favored here.
Yeah.
I think the wrong team was favored in this series. I think the wrong team was favored game one. And I'm not going to, like, beat my chest over game one. It was, you know, a coin flip game. But I just think the Heat have been better in the playoffs, been better in the bubble. What they did to the Bucks is more impressive than what the Celtics did to the Raptors in 7 games, in my opinion, with Siakam struggling.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I don't even think they did anything really to make Siakam struggle. I just think he just couldn't buy a jump shot.
Yeah.
And he couldn't finish at the rim all of a sudden.
Yeah, he was missing layups.
Right.
Yeah.
He was missing layups left and right. I was like, goodness.
So what the Heat have done so far, to me, is just more impressive. I think the wrong team is favored here. And I kind of think the Heat go up 2-0, but if they lose, I think it'll be within 1 or 2 points. At least I feel like that's the most likely scenario.
Yeah, come down to the wire. Yeah. Yeah, I got the Heat tonight as well.
And if we're just drafting teams and drafting assets, like, I like doing that in these series. We didn't do it before game one, but, like, you can maybe make the case that Tatum's the best player. Although, like, in a playoff series, who do you want more, Tatum or Butler? Like, it's close. Butler showed me that he can go out and win games. Like, he did it with Philadelphia. He almost beat that Raptors team single-handedly. We'll call Butler and Tatum a wash, but outside of that, like, where do you start going? Because I think the clear-cut third option here is Bam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
I agree. He's been better than Kemba, for sure.
I mean, I don't even know. Kemba's not even in my top four Celtics. Like, I mean, I take Marcus Smart and Brown over Kemba. Like, yeah.
So
I'll take Dragic over Kemba.
Yeah, and I was just talking about just the Celtics and the way Dragic has been playing. Yeah, I mean he's better and he's more tested, and he comes from a place that
he's
was torn apart by war. He is not afraid.
He's not scared of the moment.
He is not afraid of the moment. Like when he was young, he was trying to fight Sasha Vujacic like during the Suns Lakers series. Like Dragic is not scared. I'm not saying Kemba's scared, but Kemba isn't ready to compete at the same level Dragic is. It seems like Kemba seems to be doubting himself a little bit, and quite frankly, if we're looking at these playoffs and who I want tonight, I would take Tyler Hero over Kemba. And that's crazy to say, but like Tyler Hero put up a stat line. I think it was only done by somebody under the age of 21 twice, you know, having the 12, 10, and 9 or whatever. I think it was Magic Johnson and LeBron James had done that. Wow. That was it in the playoffs.
Jeez.
And like you said, that three he hit in the fourth quarter.
He's cold blooded.
Contested three, too. Yeah. That was huge. Time.
That's a bigger shot than Kemba Walker's hit in his entire career.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a bigger shot than Kemba Walker has hit in his entire career.
Depending on how you weigh his UConn career.
His NBA career, non-UConn. Yeah, yeah. Although I would take Tyler Hero's shot over, like, the Big East tournament. But either way.
Yeah, I would too.
Either way.
Yeah, man, Kemba went 1 of 9 from 3 last game.
And, I mean, he's going – if you just look at his game log, if his three-pointers the last, like, 4 games, like, 1 of 9, 1 of 6, 1 of 6, 1 of 6, like, it's just – it's bad.
Ugly.
What was it yesterday? I say it was, like, 4 for 38 or something crazy like that. It's like, 11%.
Yeah, it was something like that, yeah.
Jeez. And then on the sidelines, I'm taking Spo over Stevens.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I know Stevens gets all the credit, has gotten all the credit since he got to the league, but Spo, I mean – Spo had to deal with, like, hey, LeBron got you this championship, but I think Spo has proven, like, hey, I kind of helped LeBron, too. Like, I kind of made LeBron get in the post and become, like, a power forward that spread everything around. That was my idea. Saw a stat coming out of game one. Eric Spoelstra became, I believe, the ninth most winningest playoff coach. I think he got his 80th playoff win that made him the ninth highest win total of any playoff coach, and he is one of three to be on that list while also having at least a 60% win percentage.
Jeez. Okay, Spo. Okay.
It was like him, Phil Jackson, and Pat Riley, I think, was the number. Popovich came in at 59.9%, so he was close. But Spo has a long history of winning. And I get that LeBron James helps, but he's winning now without LeBron James. He's taking Jimmy Butler now and turning him into like LeBron James light. Phil Jackson, Pat Riley, and Spo, those are the only guys with at least 80 playoff wins and a 60% winning percentage. Hour 2 in the books, hour 3 on deck. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.